Well, this is not my usual type sermon. Usually I preach on something that I just going through in my life or something that the Lord is teaching me and it just comes right out of my heart. But this time, the Lord just gave me something that's quite different. It's more of a teaching. Actually, yesterday, after quite a few hours of preparing and studying, I was like, wow, my notes are all Bible verses. This is different. Usually I'm like writing a novel, all my thoughts and my feelings, and this time it was just like Bible verse after Bible verse. So I put them all on a PowerPoint for you guys to follow. And if you need me to send you this PowerPoint after, if you want to go through it again, just email me. I'll send it to you. So this is just a continuation, basically, of our series. Oh, my purse. Thank you. Of our series on the baptism, Holy Spirit, and the gifts. And one of the gifts is the discerning of spirits. And I usually talk, you know, a lot about discernment, but I've never really done a study on it. So this was quite interesting. So Jay talked about the baptism of fire, if you remember, about 2 weeks ago it was. Yeah. And I was just thinking about what he preached, and I just got an analogy. As I just want to go over what he preached and then what Joseph preached, so you know where I'm coming from. And so I was thinking about the baptism of Holy Spirit, and sometimes it's really hard to explain what it really is and what it does. And I felt like the Lord gave me this really cool analogy. It's like all God's children, let's say, are like light bulbs with an electric plug. And so all the light bulbs are God's children, so we are all saved when we believe in Jesus. But the baptism, it's like plugging us in. It's like the light comes on, right? And so I just really wanted to stress that, because it's really important that we have the baptism, because a light bulb without being plugged in, it's like the life, the power isn't there, right? The nature of Christ is there. I know it sounds funny, the nature of Christ being the light bulb, but just try to picture that. But being plugged in is quite important. So if you know in your heart that you need to be plugged in into God and get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just ask Him and it will come. And if you need help, just come to us and we'll pray for you. For me, it came in a very interesting way. I didn't even know what it was. I got saved in a very conservative church that didn't teach about the baptism of Holy Spirit. That's so sad, but that's the truth. And but God is bigger than that, right? So there was just a time in my life where I just got really, really hungry for more, and I just kept praying the best I could and just asking Him for more. And just one day I just started worshiping. I was just at home and I just started worshiping, and all of a sudden it's like the sky opened in front of me, and it's like there was just light all over. And I just really felt this change on the inside. And I started hearing God's voice so clearly. And so I just ran into my room and I just started writing down everything He was telling me. And it was like stuff about my life, things He was asking me to, you know, to give up, to surrender. And then it started being prophecies for my church and then for my province and for the country. And like just, you know, just the Holy Spirit just came on me and just opened my eyes basically to everything around me. It was incredible. And so when I told my friend Navar what had happened to me, he laughed. He was like, "Oh, you got baptized." I was like, "What? I got baptized in water, but like I didn't know." And so he explained it to me. So I got the understanding of what it was after. So God doesn't necessarily need our understanding, but he needs hunger, so you got to want it to receive it. And last week, Joseph reminded us that it's all about love. And all the gifts need to flow out of love. All the gifts are from Holy Spirit and are for the edification of the body. So every gift needs to be used in love. Or else it can be a bad scene. Not going to go into that. So just remember that it needs to come out of love. So in talking about discernment, it's just mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. I think I have it here. What do I need to point this to? I don't think it's working. Oh, you know what? That's it. Okay. Technology.
Technology, we love it.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay. I don't even know. No, that's not it. Okay. So I didn't put it on there. 1 Corinthians 12. It talks about all the gifts that God gives to the body of Christ, and one of them is discerning of spirits. And discernment in my Bible dictionary means to examine, to scrutinize, and to question. And there's something that has been bugging me since that baptism of Holy Spirit came on me, is so many times we don't question things, we don't scrutinize, we don't study, we don't examine, we just go with the flow, you know? So it's so easy for the devil to deceive us. When we think about the discerning between good and bad, we think it's easy. We think it must be obvious what's good and what's evil. It's not that easy, because in our human nature, we don't discern those things. This is for the spiritual man. It's when we accepted Christ and we got plugged in into the power of God, and he gave us those eyes. It's only through the Spirit that we can see, that we can discern between good and evil. It's not in our natural man. So we need God for that. The devil's not that dumb. I mean, he's a loser, but he knows how to deceive us. And that's his main purpose on earth, is to deceive us. So he's not going to make it always obvious. So we really need discernment. So, is that clear on what discernment is? We're just going to go through a lot of verses from the Bible where discernment is mentioned, so it's going to give you a better idea before we go more into it. So the first part today is more a teaching, and then more of a preaching. So in Genesis 41:39, it says, "So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has formed you informed you of all of this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are." And you're going to notice a lot of the verses where discernment is mentioned, it also mentions wisdom. So they go hand in hand. The discernment and then, the wisdom to know what to do with it. Deuteronomy 1:13, "Choose wise and discerning and experienced men from your tribes, and I will appoint them as your heads." Also, what I noticed is those who have been entrusted with more discernment are often leaders in Israel. So it's a very important gift. Deuteronomy 32:29. Would that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would discern their future. So again, wisdom, discernment go together. 1 Samuel 25:33, and blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hands. That's David talking to Abigail. Proverbs 2, it talks all about wisdom, but it talks all about discernment as well. Make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search her, her being wisdom, as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth and come knowledge and understanding. So again, you notice the seeking, the crying out for. You gotta want it. And I think to want it, you have to know what it's useful for. So we're going to see more of that. On the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found, but a rod for the back of him who lacks understanding. So God's pretty serious. If you're not discerning and you don't have wisdom in what you do, it's not good. Proverbs 14:7, leave the presence of a fool or you will not discern words of knowledge. I was like, a fool? Presence of a fool? God calls people fool and, you know, foolishness, just people that don't follow him, basically. So leave the presence of a fool or you will not discern words of knowledge. We're going to see some verse in the New Testament that talk of that, of not being unequally yoked with unbelievers. I think for that, we just need to surround ourselves with brothers and sisters in the Lord to help us discern what's right and wrong. Just because we're really easily deceived. And if we're always, like, I mean, if you don't attend a church, if you're never in fellowship with fellow Christians, your discernment will be dulled for sure, because we sharpen one another. Ezekiel 42:23, moreover, they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane. So that's the difference between good and evil as well. And cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. So that's talking about the priests in Israel, to teach the people to discern between the unclean and the clean. And we need to do the same. I think that's not something that we often talk about in church. You know, we've been freed from the law. We don't have to follow certain rules. But Paul says everything is permissible, but not everything is useful. Not everything is beneficial. Matthew 16:3, and in the morning there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky? You know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of time. And that's Jesus talking to the Pharisees. He says, you can look at the sky and know what's going to happen the next day, but you can't even discern what's happening right now. The Pharisees were constantly studying the word. They were constantly in the Bible, what they had back then. And they did not discern that Jesus was the very answer to all those prophecies that they were reading day after day after day. Why was their discernment so dulled? I think it can happen to us too. And there's a lot of passages again that talk about knowing the time of our visitation, recognizing Jesus. When Jesus talks about the end time, when Paul talks about the end time, and when John in Revelation talks about the end time, they constantly warn us to be alert, to have oil in our lamp, to be ready, to make ourselves ready, to not be deceived. I mean, it's all over the New Testament. And I don't think we take it seriously enough because we're like, oh, you know, God is with me and it's all good. But yesterday when I was preparing this, the fear of the Lord just came on me and I just started weeping. And I don't know how to explain it. It was so intense. I couldn't even speak. Jay came upstairs and he was like, are you okay? Are you okay? I was like, I just pointed at the screen. When I got to a certain verse, I just got so sad because I was like, the devil will even try to deceive the elect. You know, he will even try to deceive every one of us here. He'll try. I'm not saying he'll succeed, but I just got this heavy burden on me that I want everyone of us know, you know, that we need this discernment to make sure that we always choose God's path, that we always choose God in everything we do. And there's a lot of things that we do in our lives, things that we choose that can dull our senses, that can dull our discernment. When I got that baptism I was telling you about, that crazy experience, the Lord started telling me everything I had to get rid of in my life. And I know that without doing that, my discernment would have been not as sharp, dull. Because there's things sometimes that we keep in our lives, idols, things that we hold dear, that are not, see, the thing is that it's not necessarily evil per se, but God will show you if there's things that are in the way, if there's things that make it so it's hard for you to discern between good and evil, that make it so it's hard for you to choose God. You know, sometimes I don't know how to say this. God made me get rid of all my secular music. It was hard. but he just started speaking to me about being set apart. See, when we come to Jesus, we get his nature. We become the temple of God. God doesn't live in a physical temple anymore. He lives in you and me. We are his temple. And if you see how they treated the temple in the Old Testament, it was like, you know, the most holy place and no unclean thing could come near it. It was unthinkable. But we don't think often of ourselves that way. Do we really watch our eye gate, you know, like just all our senses? Do we make sure that everything that enters us, everything that we do is holy and blameless and good? No. It's really easy to let little things just pass by because, I mean, it's contrary to the world we live in. It's the opposite. Choosing to surrender everything is going against the grain. It's going against the flow. And people around you might not like it. And so rejection plays in. And I lost all my friends when I got baptized in the Spirit. But every time I need to remember what God took me out from and remember the joy of my salvation, this is the place I go back to. It's not when I first accepted Christ, but it's when I got baptized and I just threw it all away. And I chose to be set apart for God's purposes. The joy that came was incredible. His Spirit was so strong. I could hear him so clearly. Because there's nothing else I wanted. There's nothing else I wanted to hear. I didn't want to be entertained. I didn't want to go to movies. I didn't want to go out with friends. There was none of that. None of those desire in me. I just wanted God. I'm not saying never go to movies. You know, don't make it a law. But just do what God is speaking to you. Just do it. Obey. It really pays off. It can be hard at first because our flesh craves all these things. But choose to feed your spirit. And there's one other thing too. When I got baptized, the Lord was like, fast. I was like, fast? The first time I fasted, I fasted until lunchtime. And I was in my room and I was like, oh, I can't do this. And I just ran downstairs to the fridge. I opened the fridge. I took a piece of cheese. And I was like, wow, I'm really addicted to food. You don't know you're addicted until you try to take it away. And so I started fasting once a week for a while on the day I had off at school. And, I mean, I was killing myself. But that was the whole point. I wanted my flesh to be killed, to be silenced, so that I could live out of my spirit. So fasting is another thing that I'm challenging you with, and it's going to really help your discernment. Whenever I'm fasting, it's like the discernment is increased. It's like turned on even more. I can discern where Holy Spirit is better. I can discern, you know, any deception better. It's good to do that on a regular basis so we keep ourselves in a good place. If you're struggling with something in your life, I'm telling you, try a fast. And not just a media fast or whatever other fast we came up with. Food fast. Your flesh won't like it. Okay. Couple more verses. Paul says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ." I think this could have been the main verse for today. Philippians 1, 9 to 10. To abound in real knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. I can't stress enough how much we need discernment to be ready. Did you know Jesus is coming back? Is that news to you? He's coming back. Oh, I've been reading Revelation lately over and over again. I mean, wow. I don't know when, but I want to be ready. Better get ready now because we don't know when it's going to happen. Oops. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. There's a verse that talks about, that Paul says, I could only give you milk because you guys are babies in the Lord. Solid food is for the mature. I want to be mature, but we need discernment. So, why do I need discernment? Well, if you read the New Testament, all over it, it's telling us to get ready, to abstain from every kind of evil, to be blameless and spotless and perfect. And we can't do that without the power of Holy Spirit first, and we can't do that if we can't discern what is good and evil. How can we be blameless if we don't know what to choose? Holy Spirit needs to show us. First Thessalonians 5:22-23. Abstain from every form of evil. May God sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord. Those are intense verses. Are you feeling the intensity? Not yet. Yeah, okay. Abstain from every form of evil. It's pretty straightforward. Do we abstain from every form of evil? I think even if we try without discernment and power of the Holy Spirit, we can't. Oh, we need to walk in the light. I'm just going to start at 16. For you are the temple of the living God, and as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. There's so many things that we do, that we say, that we watch, that we listen to, because everybody else does it. Doesn't make it okay. Doesn't make it good for you. God says, come out from among them and be separate. Separate. Be different. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. There's always a condition, if you notice. Do this, and I will receive you. So God wants a bride for his son that is pure and spotless. I want to be this bride. That's the verse that hit me yesterday. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. And I just started weeping because I was like, sometimes just because we see the sign, we think it's God. Did you know the devil can heal? He'll do great signs and wonders. Amazing things. I'll be like, wow, this is God. If we don't have discernment, if we don't know how to discern the spirits, how will we know? Um, Oh, missed a few here. Okay. So that's the verse I keep quoting, but we didn't read yet. And it's Jesus. He wants to present. Oh, God wants to present the bride to God. You know what I mean? I should put the first part of the verse so I don't get confused. And to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. There's a lot of things in our lives that we need discernment for so that we don't get all wrinkled and have blemishes. God wants a holy and blameless bride. So, do you want discernment? How do I get more? I don't know if I put the other verses. No. Okay. So, I just want to make sure that we all got why and why we should want it, why we should want more, and what's the need. Are you guys still unsure? Anyone? So y'all crying out for more discernment right now? All right. We're all in a good place. We have to want it. See, God doesn't give gifts to people that won't open it. Jesus called us to be complete in our obedience by seeking to walk in the light that the Spirit gives us. And there's a passage in Corinthians where Paul talks about people being at different places in their understanding of what's clean and unclean when it comes to food, right? You remember that passage? And I think it goes the same with other things than food. So I'm not here to set up a new law and say this is what makes you clean, this is what makes you unclean. But I'm here to tell you, you have to wage war against all compromise in your life. And in each of your life, God will show you what that is if you let him. He'll give you more discernment as you seek it and you ask for more. But if you ask for discernment and at the same time when he shows you something, you don't give it up. It will stop there. It'll always be the same thing. If you want to go forward, you have to take the step to go forward. It can be costly. Am I sounding extreme? Yeah, I am. Nothing is worth more than our relationship with God. Nothing. Come on. Oh. Nothing, 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 nothing. Nothing. If you're struggling right now in your heart with something that you don't want to give up, just give it up. Just give it up. Just give it up. One of my favorite songs is called Smashing Idols. Makes me happy. Smashing idols. Purify the temple. Everything must go. I gotta have God. That's the lyrics of the song. I mean, musically, it's, yeah. But the anointing on that song is just incredible. We are the temple of God. Nothing is worth holding on to if God is telling you to give it up. But the good thing is, the more you dedicate your life to God, the more you surrender, every step of surrender, it gets easier. Freedom, yes. Freedom and discernment increases each step as you decide to just clean up your life from all the junk. You can see more clearly. It's like coming out of a cave. The light shines when you decide to get rid of all the darkness, right? The light is everywhere, so it's easier to see. I'm guaranteeing you, if you ask him for the gift of discernment, he will take you through the steps I just gave you. Guaranteed. I'm calling you higher, church. We don't want to be babies anymore. We don't want milk anymore. Every baby gets tired of milk. You know, when they reach about 6, 7 months, they're like, okay, I want solid food now. And I'm hoping that's our case. We want to move on to solid food. You know, a heart of obedience, a vibrant heart, is our most valuable possession. It's the only thing that you get to bring to heaven. You get to bring nothing else than your heart and how you took care of it on this earth. It's quite important, guys. We only spend a short time down here, an eternity in heaven. I know I don't want to regret anything. I don't even think there's regret up there, but I don't know how it works. I just don't. But I so want to do my best here. So we have to discern things so that we can have that vibrant heart, so that we can keep our heart vibrant for God. Nothing in the way. You know, it was so important for the priest in the Old Testament to be able to discern between good and evil. Everybody else was allowed to, you know, have a drink or two of alcohol, but the priest, God was like, you must not have, drink wine or fermented drink. So I guess that would be beer in our day, in the tent of meeting, or you will die. Die. Aren't you glad we live in the New Testament? And he says, this is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come so that you can distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. So you can teach the Israelite all the decrees of the Lord. I'm just quoting that verse so that we can understand how important it was for God and how there are things that we can have in our lives that can make it so we don't discern as well between good and evil. And in that case, it was alcohol, but it can be anything. Just listen to God. Just have that heart of obedience, that vibrant heart when he shows you something. You know, if you really want to follow him, he'll show you stuff that would be better for you to get rid of in order to get more of him. See, it's never to hurt us. It's never like God not wanting us to have good things. That's never his heart. His heart is to be closer to us. His heart is for nothing to be in the way between the bridegroom and the bride. Like if Jay asks me to give up something because it's hurting our relationship, will I choose to keep that thing so it can break our marriage? No, obviously not. I'll just give it up Because my relationship with my husband is more important than whatever the thing is. So this morning, it's a message of consecration, basically. It is a teaching on discernment, on the gift of discernment. But I'm hoping that that we now have more of a desire to consecrate ourselves unto God and to walk that life, to be holy and blameless before our God. Can we stand? And can he come? So this morning, if you feel like you need more discernment in your life so that you can consecrate your life to God even more, just come to the front. And we're just gonna leave the front for you and God for now. And we'll pray later. But I really want this place to just be a place for you and God right now. If God has been speaking to you, just have a moment with him as we worship.